pray that everything you hear and see done here today will be in harmony with God's will. If not, please let us know, because that is our goal, to follow God's word as closely as is humanly possible. Well, you probably know by now that it's time for that old dreaded resolution time, that New Year's resolution sermon. Well, you probably knew it was coming. You know what? This is actually a good time of the year. It really is. It's a good time. You know, when we study evangelism, when we put it into practice, there are a few things that we know about evangelism. And that, one of the main things is this: people make changes when something is, when something changes in their lives, rather, that's when they normally respond to the gospel, or they want to make a change. For example, or some event. People move. They move to a new town. That's a great time to try to teach them the gospel, because a lot of times when they move to a new place, they make resolutions. They say, oh, this is how it's going to be. This is what we're going to do. It's new. It's fresh. We're going to make changes. When a baby is born into a family, that's a change. That's a good time to try to reach people with the gospel. And sometimes even when bad, unfortunate things happen, change takes place in people's lives. And that is a great opportunity for us to preach and teach the gospel to those that are lost. So when I think about where we are right now and this new year that is upon us, it's a great time to make some New Year's resolutions. Now, you probably have done this in times past, and perhaps in times past you said, no, I'm not going to make any resolution. That will be the resolution that I will make. But actually, isn't it always good for us to examine ourselves? Isn't it always good for us to set goals for ourselves to try to achieve? Of course it is. And as a new year begins, I can't help but to be reminded of the fact that we are all 1 year closer to the day of our deaths, or to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are 1 year closer to that day when we will stand before Jesus in judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." We are all 1 year closer to hearing Jesus say one of two things. Either he will say, as is mentioned in Matthew 25, verse 34, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or else we'll hear him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," Matthew 25, verse 41. Since we are 1 year closer to that day when our final destiny will be forever determined, let me now use this opportunity to, number one, to provoke our thinking as to how we have lived this past year. You know, as we come to the close of a year, there's also something else that's dreaded, and that's the preparing to see the tax man. But you know, even in doing that, when you come towards the end of the year, you must take inventory. In other words, with my little old hobby business that I have, Mr. Ed says, "You've got to let me know what you have in inventory. Uncle Sam wants to know." So I want to provoke you this morning to think back of this present year that we're in and how things have went this year, and I want you to take some inventory. But also I want to suggest some resolutions for the upcoming year. Now, as we think about resolutions, many people will make resolutions like these: to improve oneself, perhaps to get out of debt, to save more money, to eat better food, to be healthier, to exercise, to quit smoking, things like that. But this morning I want to talk to you about resolutions in a more generic sense. I like this cartoon that I've seen, and it's these two characters, and one says, "What exactly is a New Year's resolution?" And the little fella says, "It's a to-do list for the first week of January." Now, a lot of my resolutions have been just about like that, maybe a month. But you know what? It's good to follow through with the resolutions that we make. So let's just look back at 2019 for a minute. Let's ask ourselves some questions. In 2019, did our relationship with God and with Christ improve? Do you feel right now as though in this present year that we're in, 2019, that you have grown closer to God, or that you have drifted further away? In James chapter 4, verse 8, James said, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." You see, we must draw nigh to God. I hope that in this present year that we are in, that we can all say that I am closer to God right now than I was on January the 1st. Are you drawing closer to Him? You see, we realize that a close relationship really depends upon good communication. Where there's no good communication, it's hard to have a good relationship. And so it is with our relationship with God. There must be some good communication. In other words, how much did I listen to God in 2019? You see, God speaks to us. But how does He communicate to us? Through His Word. That's why in Jeremiah 22, verse 29, the Bible says, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." God has always given His word to man. He's always wanted communication with man. He's always wanted to talk to man. So I must ask myself, in this year, how much did I read and study my Bible? What about you? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." If I'm going to grow and grow closer to God, there must be good communication. That means I must listen to what God has said to me through His Word. Have we read the entire Bible this year? Or have we ever read through the entire Bible? Do we know all that God has told us? Have we at least become familiar with it? I hope we have. I'm not saying you have to read all the way through the Bible in one year to please God. I'm not saying that at all, but it's a good practice. Remember Brother Truman, he used to read, he and his good wife, they would read through the Bible every year. Every morning they would start with reading the Word of God together. They'd read so many chapters, and then they would make it through the entire Bible year after year after year. How can we say that we are taking our relationship with God seriously if we are not listening to what God has to say in His Word? Also, how much did we talk to God through prayer in 2019? What is our prayer life like? You see, God speaks to us through His Word. He's not going to talk to you with some little still, calm voice in the middle of the night. He's not going to talk to you in a vision. He's not going to talk to you in a dream. He's going to talk to you through the Word. The Holy Spirit's not going to come to your house. He's not going to send an angel to your house. He's giving you the Word of God. That's what we have. The only way God talks to us is through His Word. When it comes to matters of salvation, when it comes to, you can see that God exists just by looking around. Everywhere you look, you see God. But God speaks to us through the Word of God, the Word of His grace. But we communicate with God through prayer. He talks to us through His Word. We talk to Him through prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. How is your prayer life? Do you pray more now than you did at the beginning of the year? Do you pray more fervently now than you did at the beginning of the year? Do you have more faith in your prayer than you did at the beginning of the year? Effective communication is two-sided. There's no way to get around it. Fervent Bible study joined with fervent prayer. That's how we communicate. Did our degree of prayerfulness increase or decrease in 2019? Remembering that the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is very common that when people stop listening to God's word, their prayer lives will soon cease and come to naught. Why? Because they do not have faith in prayer any longer. And so we must study God's word to give us faith that God will do what he has said he will do, and that he will answer our prayers. Brothers and sisters, there's answers to our prayers being seen every day. So we should pray to God. In 2019, did our relationship with our brethren improve? Did our relationship with our brethren, did our love for them increase? As Paul teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, when he said to the church at Thessalonica, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, watch this, he's not saying you don't love one another. Just like as we look at ourselves today, we all love one another. We understand that we loved each other at the beginning of the year. But how much do we love ourselves at the end of this year? How much do we love one another? Notice, here's what he's asking. He's commanding, really. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. How much has your love for the brethren grown in this past year? Are we any closer to one another than we were a year ago? Did we go into one another's homes in this past year? Did we have brethren to come into our homes this past year? You remember when you read about the church at the beginning in Acts chapter 2, and throughout the book of Acts, you read of them meeting daily, going from house to house, eating their bread together, having common meals together. Of course, they were also worshiping together as well. So they were spending a lot of time together. If you're going to really love someone, you need to spend time with that person. And time is so very precious because we have so little. And so we must ask ourselves, has my love for the brothers and sisters in Christ, has my love grown? Has it increased? Do we know one another better than we did a year ago? In 2019, did our relationship with those in the world improve? The people that we're around from day to day. As people of God, we have the responsibility towards those who are in the world. We have a responsibility to be a positive influence in their lives. As Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, when he said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. What kind of positive influence did you have on the people in our world, those that you work with, those that perhaps may even be family members that are not members of the church, those that you have come in contact with throughout this past year? And we have the responsibility to them to demonstrate a better way. They ought to see Christ living in us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How brightly has our light been shining in 2019? What kind of influence have we had on the world around about us? What kind of example have we been for them in this year? Do we work to develop relationships with those people so the gospel can be taught to them? Do we know our neighbors? Have we lost the art of Southern hospitality? How much time did we waste this year? How much time did we waste? May we have pressed forward in this past year, this year that we're in right now, with a good attitude of moving on, resolving to do better, to be better, to have a closer relationship with God, with our brethren, and with those people that we are around. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." With that in mind, thinking about being like Paul, putting the past behind us, looking forward, looking ahead into this upcoming new year, may we make some resolutions for 2020. Let us resolve in this upcoming year to draw nearer to God and to Christ in 2020. How are we going to do that? It's very simple. We're going to do that by reading and studying our Bibles daily. You want to draw closer to God? Start right there. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with readiness of mind," watch this, "and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." If you're going to grow closer to God in 2020, you're going to have to commit. You're going to have to make a resolution, if you will. You're going to have to be determined to study the Bible more in 2020 than you did this present year. That's how we're going to grow closer. We must study. Study the Old Testament. There's so much that is learned about God in the Old Testament. There's so much value in the Old Testament. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," back there in the Old Testament, "were written for what? Our learning. For our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We need to study that Old Testament in 2020. I'm glad that our elders see to it that we begin every year, first quarter, studying the Old Testament. We study a survey of the Old Testament, book by book of the Old Testament, men and women of the Old Testament, geography of the Old Testament. And so we study the Old Testament. Don't forget the Old Testament. A lot of people don't want what they call that old Bible anymore. It's not applicable. You better be studying that old Bible. You better study that Old Testament. There's so much wealth in there for you, it's hard to imagine. Study the Old Testament. But then this year, we must make sure that we keep studying the New Testament, because that's the law that has been bound upon us. As James said in James 1, verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," that just means abundance of wickedness, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." He's talking about the New Testament. Receive this word that is able to save your soul. If we're going to get closer to God, if we're going to draw closer to Him and closer to Christ, we're going to have to study the Word of God. Study the Old Testament. Study the New Testament. Study all of the Bible. And then we must be diligent in our prayer life. Oh, what a blessing and privilege that prayer is to the faithful child of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the writer records, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." That's for the children of God. Those that are faithful in Christ Jesus, they can come boldly. They can come with all confidence before the grace of God when they bow their knees in prayer, when they bend their knees and bow their heads, and they pray unto the Heavenly Father. He does something. He acts in your behalf. Power in prayer. You know, one of the things that the devil hates to see more than anything else, he hates to see a faithful child of God bow his or her head in prayer, making requests unto the Father. Because he knows God answers the prayers of the righteous. And so let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. We all need mercy, right? But look at this. And find grace to help in time of need. Does God answer prayer? He's promised to answer prayer. I love that verse. You've got mercy and grace in the same verse. Mercy keeps us from receiving what we truly deserve, but grace gives us something we don't deserve. Grace and mercy. Throne of grace. If you're going to grow closer to God this year, you're going to spend a lot of time studying your Bible. Study more than you did in 2019. Be sure you are diligent in prayer. And as you go to pray, make sure you take time to be thankful. Show your gratitude to God in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." That should be our attitude. You pray when you're happy, you pray when you're sad, you pray when you're mad, you pray when you wake up, you pray when you eat, you pray when you lay down, you pray when you have people around you that are sick. Pray, 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 pray. There's power in prayer. Have that attitude. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Show your gratitude to God. Pray to Him. Pray on a regular basis. Use the example of Daniel. You remember in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He had a prayer life that was very structured, and he prayed at least three times a day. How many times a day do we pray? You know something that I'm starting to see that I used to didn't see? I am now seeing people sit down at a table covered with food and not even give thanks. That's not a good thing. We have people that are not teaching their children that when you partake of food God has blessed you with, you give Him thanks. We need to pray. If we didn't have that food, it'd be different, wouldn't it? And if we had little food, we'd be more thankful, wouldn't we? We need to give God thanks because He has blessed us abundantly. Hey, just look at us. We're not hurting for food. So we ought to be sure we're thanking Him because He is blessing us. And so if we're going to grow closer to God in 2020, you're going to have to spend time with the Word of God. You got to spend time in communication with God. That means you're going to read God's Word more than you have in the past, and you're going to pray more. Read more, pray more, you'll draw closer to God. But let's also resolve to become closer to our brethren in 2020. There are a lot of ways that this can be done. But we need to work to draw closer, that our love for one another may abound each day of 2020. We could start by making a point to know everyone's names. You know, several years ago, I had an elder ask me of one of the members' names. Now, I have those senior moments when I have a blank. I'm not talking about that. But there are congregations where even elders of the church don't even know the names of all the members, much less where they live. But you know something that's interesting? In 3 John, verse 14, as John is writing, he says, "Greet the friends by name." I've always been impressed with people who can remember my name. There's something about hearing your name. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not that great at it. It takes me a little while, but once I get it, I've got it pretty good. But there are people that have that special gift. Once they hear your name one time, and then they'll call you by it over and over. Hey, Mike. You know, that's pretty special, isn't it? Hey, Mike. And so let's be sure that we know one another's names. Let's work on that, which I believe we all do, but we're so small. But we sure ought to know one another's names. But also by having different people in our homes. We have had little programs where we've had things where different people were invited or someone was in charge of it, and they would have different people go to different people's homes, kind of mix it up so to kind of motivate us and help us. But you know what? We shouldn't have to have someone have a schedule for us to go visit someone or have someone in our homes. You know, that's something we can do. It wouldn't be a bad idea to do it every month. As Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality. Have different people in your homes, a brother, sister, family. Some of you do so well at this. But you know what? As you do that, you find yourselves growing closer to them. And the more you're with them, the more you love them. You know, and so we need to invite people into our homes. We need to go visit each other from time to time. As James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows. The principle is we should be visiting one another. In that particular verse, it has a lot to do with taking care of their needs as well, which as we visit one another, we may see needs that need to be tended to. Didn't Paul say, look upon the things of others? Looking to help and to bless. And so as we're together more, we will become closer together and we'll love each other more. Let's resolve to get to know non-Christians better in 2020. How do we do that? Well, I guess it starts by being good to them. In Galatians 6:10, Paul said, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That would include those who are not in the church. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. How about the idea of inviting your neighbor or your co-worker to your house for a meal? That'd be a good way to get to know them better. Practice the golden rule that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, verse 12, when he said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So we need to invite these folks into our homes, but we also need to go and visit them. By building these meaningful relationships, we will have opportunities to teach them the gospel. That is one of the best ways to evangelize. Some people call it friendship evangelism. Some have titled it something to that effect. But actually, you go out and knock doors, it's difficult. It will work. It does work. But what really works well is when you befriend them and become friends with them, you'll have a higher percentage of people that will open their minds to the Word of God. They want to see us. They want to hear how we talk. They want to see how we live before most people are willing to give us the time to teach them the gospel. Now, as we've looked at a few of these resolutions may sound simplistic, but I'll guarantee you, if put into practice, will help us live the lifestyle that pleases God. By building closer relationships with God and Christ and our brethren and the lost, our lives, the church, and our community will also be blessed. Time is a precious commodity given to us by God. But let us not forget what James said. In James 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. As we grow older, we look back in the past, and our childhood seems like it was just yesterday. All time is moving on so rapidly, and so it is as a vapor. And since that is the case, we need to use the time that we have wisely. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming, or you could say, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. We only have so much of it, and we need to use it very wisely. I found a little poem I want to read to you about the new year. It says, a new year, a new beginning. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's past, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair. If you have failed some test, seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill. But know that God walks at your side, if you will do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can live the rest with Him. I thought that was a very fitting point to go with the message this morning. But I want to say to you, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a child of God that has strayed away, who has walked out of the light, we want to encourage you to come back to the Lord today, to obey His gospel. You need to make the most. You need to do the best with the amount of time that you have left. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, we then are workers together with Him. We all need to be working together with God. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. If you leave God, you've received it in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We need to resolve to make sure that we're right with God. If you haven't been living in His will, what better time to make changes than right now? If you've never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to begin right now by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16, by repenting of all your sins, Luke 13:3, confessing Him before men to be the Son of God, Acts 8, verse 37, and be baptized into Him, Galatians 3:26 and 27, for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and then be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. If you're here and perhaps you have obeyed the gospel, but you've become weak, maybe you're living in sin, you're practicing sin, you need to come back and repent so you can be covered by the blood of Christ, and then use your remaining time bringing glory to God Almighty. Is this the day you need to make the change? Or will you put it off? Tomorrow may never come. If you're going to make changes, I would say do it now before January the 1st. Why wait? If you're here and you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Gently to his fold, see him so.